engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, if you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, if you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then light shall rise for you in the darkness, and the gloom shall become for you like midday. Then the Lord will guide you always and give you plenty even on the parched land. He will renew your strength, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. The ancient ruins shall be rebuilt for your sake, and the foundations from ages past you shall raise up. Repairer of the breach they shall call you, restorer of ruined homesteads. If you hold back your foot on the Sabbath from following your own pursuits on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's day honorable, if you honor it by not following your ways, seeking your own interests, or speaking with malice, then you shall delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will nourish you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Incline your ear, O Lord, answer me, for I am afflicted and poor. Keep my life, for I am devoted to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for to you I call all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in kindness to all who call upon you. Hearken, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the sound of my pleading. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus saw that a tax collector named Levi was sitting at the customs post. He said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything behind, he got up and followed him. Then Levi gave a great banquet for him in his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were at table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes complained to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Those who are healthy do not need a physician, but the sick do. I have not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, brothers and sisters, the tax collectors of Jesus' day were working for the Roman Empire, which was ruling over Palestine, and therefore they were regarded as renegades and traitors. In fact, they were grouped in the thinking of the people together with robbers and murderers. The system that was beginning to change, but there was still a lot of this kind of behavior among the tax collectors, was that the various areas, the various districts were assessed a certain amount of tax. And all that Rome cared about was that the tax collector would pay at the end of the year that assessed amount of tax. How much more he could pull out of the people for himself, well, that was his business. And they did that, and they were able to get away with that. Because remember, there was not the modern means of communication that we have now in order to get a message out to the general population. So the people who were paying the taxes to the tax collectors, they didn't know how much the assessment was that their region had to meet. They were at the mercy of the tax collector, who, by the way, could stop them if they were pulling their cart down the street, and the tax collector could stop them and say, okay, each wheel of that cart, there's a certain tax that's owed on that. Taxes were owed on all kinds of things, as they are, of course, with us. Well, you can see how these tax collectors would have been despised and hated and looked down upon. In fact, one Roman writer said that he saw a monument to an honest tax collector. A monument, because it was such a rare and unusual thing. An honest tax collector. They were barred, by the way, as were the robbers and the murderers, from going to the synagogue. And it is one of these people that Jesus calls to be one of his apostles. Matthew, whose name was Levi, Matthew, the tax collector. The Pharisees see this, of course, as we hear in this passage, and they complain. But notice what the Lord says. I have come to call sinners. I have come to call the sick. Not the healthy. They don't need a doctor. The sick. As we've mentioned in the Advent and Christmas season, there was no room at the inn. God could have easily provided that there be room at the inn. But there was no room at the inn, because God wanted to deliberately make the point that he was coming to heal those who were at enmity with God, those who were not making room for him in their hearts and their lives. He was coming precisely to reconcile sinners to himself. Note this. He called them sick. He called them sinners. And notice what he said he came to do, not just to be with them, but to be with them, to call them to repentance. Let's listen again carefully to what Jesus said, because his words would not pass muster in this politically correct culture and this politically correct church, where God forbid that we should call anyone sick. God forbid that we should call anyone sinners. But let's listen again to the words of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, as recorded for us here in the Scriptures. Those who are healthy do not need a physician, but the sick do. I have not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. Notice, he didn't say, well, I'm getting together with the tax collectors and sinners because really, after all, it's just a disagreement of opinion. They have their truth and I have mine. I have my morality and they have theirs, and we all have to just get along. Is that what he says here as the explanation for why he was not only calling Matthew but getting together with the other tax collectors and sinners? Is that his explanation? Oh, well, you know, we can all just agree to disagree. Just all get along, one happy family. A lot of people in the church that say that these days, a lot of people outside the church, a lot of people that try to make Catholicism or Christianity blurry in its boundaries as to what it is that we're really supposed to be believing and doing. Oh, everybody just, you know, everybody's welcome. Well, of course everybody's welcome. They're welcome to repent. They're welcome to join the community which has specific beliefs and specific boundaries and a specific code of action that defines our identity. Not that we can just take it or leave it. Oh, well, I disagree with the tax collectors and sinners, but I'm going to sit and eat with them anyway. That's not what he said. He said, I have come to call them to repentance. To call to repentance, he says. And that's the part that gets conveniently dropped by many who want to put forward this idea of mercy and tolerance as one that doesn't even recognize the difference between sin and virtue. That doesn't even recognize that there are certain things we're supposed to do and certain things we're always supposed to avoid. I have not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. He identifies them as such. We engage in our religious practices in order to better live out our identity, and it is a specific identity of believing what the faith teaches and living as the faith requires. And that's why in the first reading, Isaiah says, you want to honor the Lord? You want to honor the Lord's day, he says specifically in this passage? Doesn't just mean going to church. That's not enough. Because if you're going to church, but then you're making up your own creed, if you're going to church and hearing what the church teaches and you're taking some and leaving the rest, if you're treating the creed and the catechism like a Chinese restaurant menu that you just pick and choose and mix and match, you're not pleasing the Lord. You don't follow your own ways, Isaiah says in this first reading. Listen to it carefully. If you call the Lord's day holy, he says, then honor it by not following your own ways, seeking your own interests, or speaking with malice. One of the most common sins of religious people and of religious leaders is rash judgment. I can write a book of examples of just what I've seen with my own eyes and heard with my own ears. Rash judgment, calumny, slander. The things so easily that roll off our tongues, or in the case of fake news media, which is not just secular, there's also fake Catholic news, and those of you that are guilty of it, you know that I'm talking about you, that just so easily want to say whatever they want to say about whoever they want to say it about, whether it's individuals or groups, organizations, these cowards, liars, and hypocrites do not follow the words here from Isaiah. But they go ahead and they judge and they trash others who are trying to do the works of God. Specifically, those of us who are pro-life and pro-Trump. Shame on these false prophets. If you want to make the Lord's day holy, honor it by not following your own ways, seeking your own interests, or speaking with malice. And so, brothers and sisters, Jesus did indeed eat with us. He didn't only eat with us sinners. He died for us sinners. Let us rejoice in his mercy. Let us understand that that mercy calls us to repentance and to change, to renounce our own ways of thinking and to adopt his. And let us proclaim that new life that he brings to all the world. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.